Are you ready to hustle? I need to hustle. Welcome to The Hustle with Justin Harrison, the ultimate podcast for money motivation and inspiration.
In this season of The Hustle podcast, we're talking to solo entrepreneurs, small business owners, and Money Tribe members and tackling their personal finance and entrepreneurial questions. And today, we're talking to Rajiv all the way from Cape Town. Rajiv, welcome to The Hustle podcast. Let's get in with your first question.
Thanks, Justin, for having me on the podcast. Really appreciate the time, yeah? I have three questions for you today. First question, if you had to be running our country, what would you do right now to drastically change the situation in terms of ESCOM and in terms of our fiscal policy? Because currently we're bleeding money from every single avenue right now.
Sure, that's a deep question. And I think, you know, I'm going to answer this as a pure blue-blooded capitalist. The first thing I would do is I would get government the hell out of business. I believe that good governments govern and they shouldn't be in business. I think there should be a separation between state and business. I don't think state-owned enterprises should exist in the first place. I really do believe in privatization. But having said that, I think there needs to be a very strong level of governance so that the privatized businesses don't overcharge, they don't monopolize, they don't abuse the system, and they don't abuse consumers. So I believe a government that is 100% focused on governance and gets the hell out of considering profit and focuses on the issue of governance is going to be a better government. The second thing I would do immediately, and this is going to ruffle everyone's feathers, I would do away with black economic empowerment. Absolutely immediately. I don't believe that it is benefiting the masses. I would bring back immediately as a replacement to black economic empowerment, the trades, and incentivize businesses to take on apprenticeships, to bring young people into their businesses, to get tax breaks and tax incentives to employ the masses. And I would let government get the hell out of the way and get business to get going with business. As far as the ESCOM issues, I think that problem almost immediately solves itself just by doing that. I think that immediately solves the problem. And the next thing I would do without a question is I would dramatically trim down the cabinet. If we look at the cost of salaries in the government sector, we're looking at 780 billion rand in expenditure. It is equating to more than a third of our fiscal in terms of GDP. We are just absolutely bleeding cash on salaries for people that literally are not doing their jobs. And then I'd say the final thing I would do is I would absolutely put a review process in place that measures people against performance in the state. If they don't perform, they're out. And so I would treat the state like a business, but I would get it the hell out of business immediately.
Okay. I hear you totally in terms of cabinet size. And you speak too about trimming that. I mean, we're taking our tax money, paying that over through to the cabinet. The cabinet is paying tax on that money as well. So that's already a big problem. But yes, I get totally what you're saying.
Rajiv, the average cost of the South African government wage bill equates to, at the moment, currently about 14,500 rand per taxpayer per year goes to paying government salaries. That is ridiculous if you average it out. And so this country is getting to a point where we're expending too much at government level and not producing enough. We have to become a nation of producers. And this is a big part of my motivation of starting the Money Tribe and starting talking about money, because I believe that we've got to get the average South African away from the idea of consumption and back into the mindset of production. We cannot keep importing everything we consume. We've got to start producing it here. It is insane that we take raw materials out of the ground here, we ship it off to China, and we bring it back as a microwave, and we pay import duties on the very thing that came out of the ground here in the first place. We have to change our policies.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so the next question that I have is, currently the young generation, so that we call it, I mean, you know, as we grew up, we were once the young generation and the future of our country and so forth. In terms of the age sector now, between the ages of, I would say, between 6 to 15, that generation is stuck into the gaming world. What are your thoughts on that? And everything I see nowadays is everything in terms of artificial intelligence, and kids just want to be on the gaming side.
I'm going to answer this question pretty much the way I'm raising my family. I've got a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 13-year-old. So we're fitting right into that demographic. So I have a philosophy in our household, which is to lead from the front. I don't believe in simply issuing instructions. So if I want my kids to be outdoors and active, I have to be outdoors and active. I cannot sit and say to my kids, get outdoors and be active, but I'm sitting behind the computer playing games. So we have to lead by example in our households. And I think this goes to every aspect of governance in the country, goes to every aspect of education. We've got to lead from the front. Now, when it comes to gaming and the sort of artificial intelligence and the way the world is moving, I truly believe that kids need to understand that world. If they don't understand that world, it's going to be a bit like when we entered the workplace and computers were just becoming a thing. And if you weren't computer literate, you know, it was kind of like not being able to speak English in the workplace. You need to be able to operate a computer today. It's a given that if you don't know how to use a computer, you're probably not going to get employed. And I think it's the same thing for the next generation of kids coming through. But I do believe there needs to be limits and there needs to be intention. So here's what I mean by this. So I have been vehemently against social media my whole life. I hate everything about social media to this very day. Yeah. But I figured out that it's a very important medium to get positive messaging out, to get teaching out, to get education out. And so I looked at social media about 2 years ago and my wife and I were looking at TikTok, funny enough. And I said, you know what? I actually believe that our kids need to understand how to use social media. And I held up the phone to her. This is the way I explained it to her. I held up the phone to her and I said, there's two sides to the screen. On the one side, you've got consumption. On the other side, you've got creation. And if our kids are going to be on the social media stuff, we've got to teach them how to be creators rather than consumers. And we've got to lead that from inside the home. And that's actually why I started my TikTok profile. I started up my TikTok profile. I mean, I'd been doing stuff on radio and I'd been doing other stuff before I really fired off aggressively on social media. But I came to social media because I wanted to be an example for the kids. I wanted to show the kids that there's another side to social media other than just mindlessly scrolling shit. Now, if I go to the gaming world, I know of youngsters who are making serious money in the gaming world. They don't just play games and it's just for fun. They're actually making money. And I've got countless examples of kids who are actually making a full-time living from gaming. So here's what I want to say. I think first we need to teach kids the balance. And I think this comes from within the home. You need to have screen time. You need to have outdoor time. You need to be a functioning member of society that has social skills. You can't be a total social reject because you're behind a screen the whole time. And that leadership comes from the parents. That leadership comes from within the home.
Yep.
Secondly, I think we need to teach our kids how to think of this as a medium. And what I mean by as a medium is if we go back 50 years, the way to get your product to market was maybe a bit longer, is horse and carriage. That evolved to truck and trailer. That evolved to train, airplanes, ships. That's how you got your product to market, right? Today, the medium is the internet. And your kids need to understand that vehicle of delivery and that medium if they're going to survive and thrive in the future. And the private little joke I have in my family is I'm building warriors. So I want my warriors not just to be physically strong. I want them to be mentally strong too. I don't want my kids to be total outdoor children, but have no idea how to operate computers or how to exist in the metaverse or how to actually make money out of the gaming environment. But at the same time, I don't want them just to be that. I want them to have the physicality. I want them to have the outdoor readiness. I want them to have survival instincts and tools. This is why I teach my kids to fish. I teach my kids to hunt. So I think we have a more important role now than ever as parents to really focus in on not just educating our kids, but really going deep into the world and understanding the world that we need to prepare them for is completely different than the world we came from. And so I'm not against gaming. I'm against somebody who games 100% of the time. I'm not against somebody who's, you know, sitting, spending time in the metaverse. I do have a problem with it if they've got no social skills in the real world. And so I think it's this balancing act. And I think if you raise your kids with that perfect balance and you teach them all aspects and all sides, the world is their oyster, because what they're competing against is people who are all in on gaming, people who are all in on the metaverse and don't possess the social skill sets and don't possess the real world aspects. And if you can give your kids all of those things, they are going to be absolutely invincible in the future.
Yeah. Look, I totally agree in terms of the balance. Balancing aspect is so critical amongst us as parents that we need to make sure that we instill that within our kids so that they can move forward accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, I just go back into our own home. I mean, we disconnected the televisions in our home in 2011. Now, that was back when we still had DSTV. disconnected it, went off completely. We now watch only on-demand viewing. And when we do consume on-demand viewing, I insist that there's something to learn from it. If it is a fictional story, I make sure there's something that the children can learn from it, that we can get from it. Mm-hmm. But generally watch documentaries, generally watch stuff that's going to feed their brain. And I think this is the part of being what I like to refer to as active parenting. I think we have to be more active as parents. The days of going and dropping your kid off at school and then going and fetching your kid after school and thinking that your job is done in terms of educating children, that's gone. Today, we as families have to take sovereignty over families, and we have to prepare our kids for a world that is completely different from the world we grew up in.
Thanks for that. Totally makes sense. Last one, it's a bit added on to basically the schooling sector in terms of our kids. Do you think, like, if you look at countries like Japan and that, they have a huge trade sector where they notice that if certain children cannot grasp certain things academically, then they get them into certain trades and see where their strengths lie. Don't you think that would benefit us as South Africans in terms of seeing that upfront at the schooling stage and obviously seeing where we can place our children, whether they would eventually go into the trade sector or stick them into the academic world and then obviously we get them into the relevant universities to get their degrees and so forth. Because I think we all dream that our children should be going to university and so forth, but not every single child is cut out for that.
Yeah, I don't think I share the same dream as everybody else. I don't dream for my kids to have a fantastic education. I dream for my kids to be financially free, and there's a very big difference. And when I say financially free, I don't necessarily mean wealthy. I mean, I want my kids to escape slavery. And people need to understand that they are in slavery, and they've been in slavery since the day they were born. People are born into a systematic approach to slavery. When you put somebody into the education system, the whole education system is modeled around making you a really good worker. Yeah. You put your hand up and you ask for permission to go to the toilet. When the bell rings, you're on the break. When the bell stops ringing and send you back into class, it's work time. There's very small windows in the classroom so you can focus on the board. There's a teacher up front that's an authoritarian figure who is dictating the way the day is going to go to you. You must understand people are being conditioned to being slaves so that you will be the perfect little taxpayer that when you pop out at the end of your university education, which, by the way, you've probably taken loans for, you're going to be enslaved and entrapped in the system where you have to work to be able to go feed yourself. And in addition to which, you're going to provide the government with taxation. Now, I know people don't want to hear this, but this is the truth of what has been happening. And if we go back to the Industrial Revolution and understand that education hasn't fundamentally changed in the last 100 years, and the Industrial Revolution basically created this concept of mass education that we have in front of us today, my answer is this. I don't believe that we should be putting everybody in the same box. You can't put a square peg in a round hole, right? And so I definitely believe that some people are going to be better at some things and some people are going to be better at other things. The education system, I totally and utterly hate the education system because it does not educate anyone. What it does is it teaches people to parrot fashion, remember shit, right? We learn about history. We learn about all this abstract nonsense, but we never actually teach people about money. We never actually teach the children how to operate with real life skills in the financial world.
Yep.
And so as far as I'm concerned, most people spend their first 18 years in this world totally wasting their time going through the education system. That's my opinion. That's why my kids are homeschooled. That's why I've got an alternative approach to education. And I've seen it with my daughter who's 13 years old. She is thinking at a level that I never thought at when I was 13 years old because her exposure is different. She wasn't put in that education box. Mm. Having said this, I truly believe that trades are fundamental to most people on earth. I really believe this is a critical life skill. I think that every education system should at a very basic level provide some kind of basic trade. And in addition to which, it should provide some basic life skills, such as orientation around financial stuff, such as orientation about how to go and operate in the real world. What do you do when you get your first job? You know, prepare kids for the real world. When I come back to the trades, I think everybody can benefit from learning to cook, learning to sew,
yep,
learning to lay bricks, learning to do woodwork. All of these things, irrespective of whether you become an accountant, whether you become a doctor, a lawyer, something in your house is going to break at some point, and you need to be able to figure out how to pick up a screwdriver and actually fix something. Most people today don't even know how to change the tire on their cars, right? They just phone AAA whenever they get a flat tire. And this is because we've taken away the life skill element. We've taken away the traits. So I can only answer this question by saying, I believe that we should absolutely do aptitude tests. If you're more inclined to be better with your hands and your brain, put you into a trade. If you're more inclined to be better with your brain than your hands, put you into something more academic. I don't believe everybody is an academic.
Yeah.
And I think it is still important, though, to equip the tradespeople with some academic knowledge and the academics with some trade knowledge. I think that's important. And so what I'm doing in my home is I've insisted that my kids will go through and do an MBA when they finish school. They'll take a gap year. They'll then go do an MBA, which will give them a general understanding of business and money and finance. But in that time, they will also get one hard trade skill under the belt. For the boys, they can become a plumber, a bricklayer, an electrician. For my daughter, it might be something more on the sort of soft skills side, but still a trade, something like coding or maybe hairdressing. That way, even if she decides to become a hairdresser, she'll be a hairdresser with an MBA. This is how I'm going to give my children competitive advantages. But in the future where the world is going, I believe that it's the farmer, the bricklayer, the plumber, the electrician that is going to be in the most demand because these have become the less sexy industries to go in. Everybody wants to be a lawyer. Everybody wants to sit behind a computer. Nobody actually wants to work with their hands. And I think there's a huge, huge opportunity if you equip your kids with that skill set in the future.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at America, America has a problem where they're gripping all the tradesmen around the world because nobody in their country wants to do it because they're so lazy. They feel that it's a it's a degradable job.
I've got a good friend who's a multi-millionaire and has been for the last four decades by doing one very simple task. He goes, he's got a business that's called the honeysucker business. It goes and sucks out all the poo out of the soak pits when they get too full. And he literally says, nobody wants to do this job, but there's money in shit. Right. And that's exactly what you're saying. People don't want to get their hands dirty. And I think there's going to be so much opportunity to make real money and create incredible lives of substance. I think farmers are probably going to be one of the most in demand professions in the future because it is a skill set. People think, oh, you just buy a farm and plant stuff. It's a skill set. There's generational knowledge that needs to get handed down.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're a first generation farmer and you want to farm successfully, you're going to have to go and study agriculture. If you're a third or fourth generation farmer, you've picked that skill set up from your family. And so I think it's going to be a very in-demand thing in the future. But I truly believe that this idea of pushing everybody into this academic sort of funnel and suggesting that everybody should remember history and everybody should understand maths and everybody should be, you know, good at geography, it's absolute rubbish. This is not the way the world works. And in fact, if you speak to 99% of people who are gainfully employed today, they will tell you that they remember very little from what they learned at school, and that generally the 18 years that they spent growing up to that point was a total waste of time that they spent in the classroom. And I think this is the problem that we have. So I don't want my kids to wait till 18 to have the skill set to earn money. My four-year-old is already figuring out how to earn money. He's already figuring out how to negotiate deals, as crazy as it sounds. My 13-year-old is on her ninth business already, right? And I'm not suggesting everybody should be an entrepreneur, but I am suggesting we should equip children with an entrepreneurial mindset because the entrepreneurial mindset is how do I solve problems? The educational mindset is how do I remember a whole bunch of shit out of a textbook to pass a test? And it's not the same language.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. I'm all for that as well because especially with us as in the Indian sector, you know, between us as Indian community people, we just want our kids to be doctors, accountants, and everything.
Yep.
But there's more to life than that. And I think trades is something that we should all look at in terms of grooming our children correctly. But yeah, that's...
Well,
that's
Rajiv, there's a deeper side to that. I mean, if you go look at the average, and no disrespect to the doctors, but I don't see that many healthy doctors out there. Whenever I go to a doctor's room and I look at a doctor, they look like they need some sunlight and some happiness in their lives. They spend their entire lives obtaining an education to go sit under a fluorescent light and have people breathing disease over them all day.
Yeah.
I respect doctors, but I just don't want my kids to be a doctor. I think it's the worst profession in the world. I don't want my kids to be lawyers. If they want to be a doctor, if they want to be a lawyer, that's entirely their choice. But I'm going to encourage my children to see the much, much, much bigger picture. And this world is so full of opportunity. In fact, I truly believe that a standard basic income system is going to be on the cards in the future, in the next generation, because AI is advancing so quickly. I mean, today, if my children had to come to me and say, I want to be a GP, a doctor, so you need to go and specialize, because in future, the GP is going to be replaced by AI. You're going to go to the pharmacy, put your finger in a little hole. It's going to pinprick you, draw your blood, and tell you exactly what's wrong with you, write your script, and issue the medication. And so, you know, same thing goes for lawyers. And so we have to teach our kids to think differently. And the number one skill set that's missing is actual tactile problem solving. Yeah. You just have to see this new generation coming through that cannot change a car tire. It's not rocket science, but they cannot figure it out because it's a tactile skill set that we haven't handed on to them. So, you know, I really encourage parents out there to think deeply about how they're educating their children and to go beyond the education system and go beyond the classroom, because there is a big world and a whole bunch of shit to learn.
Yeah, no, definitely.
If you found value from this episode of the Hustle Podcast, please be sure to hit that follow or subscribe button, depending on the platform that you're on. And please make sure that if you are finding value from this content and you're appreciating this content, that you drop me a review on your favorite podcasting app, because it does help this content get out there and it helps new people discover this amazing podcast. And remember, hustle makes muscle.
Stay motivated by The Hustle. Talkers talk, but hustlers hustle. Find more episodes at ecr.co.za or your favorite podcast app.